All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 1. Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 1. Tonight, we're going to talk about the last of the doctrines that we believe as Baptists. And this one has to do with heaven. We looked at hell last week. This week we are going to focus our attention on heaven. And I'm going to use some thoughts that I shared in a Sunday school class a few months ago, I think back in January, as well as some others that I'm going to add to that. But we're going to look at heaven. Before we begin reading and talking about heaven, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank you for the blessed assurance of everlasting life for those who believe, for those who have been called of God because they are His children and have been given this great promise, a promise that includes a dwelling in heaven for eternity. And Lord, just speak to our hearts about this, and may you guide our understanding of these things. And though we may not be able to comprehend at this present time fully what is in store for us in heaven, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand what we can, and that it would create within us a great hope for that time of everlasting peace. Lord, I just ask all of these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. So let's begin as we did last week. We began with the question, what is hell? Let's begin with what is heaven. Heaven is the present dwelling place of God. This is where God rules over all of his creation even now. It's where the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to rule over that creation. It is a place where God is most revealing of his presence. We sense his presence. We worship in his presence even now. But in heaven, it is a much fuller experience. There are angels and other created beings who surround his throne, singing praise to God and worshiping God constantly. It's the place where his throne resides. Now, God is everywhere in all of his creation, but again, he is most present or most experienced there in heaven. So that it is, we might say, where God dwells. In another sense, it is the future dwelling place for believers, for Christians. It is the place where we will go at that appointed time, either the appointed time of our death or the appointed time of the Lord's return when he gathers us up and takes us there to be with him. I want to read some scriptures. Isaiah 66, verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." Matthew chapter 6, that's the first part of that verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. This is the beginning of the model prayer. He says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." We spoke much of our Lord's authority this morning, and it is certainly being expressed as he reigns in heaven at the right hand of God. So heaven is this place where God dwells. Angels dwell there as well. I'm convinced that our minds cannot fully comprehend just exactly what heaven is like. I know the world doesn't. I remember growing up and you've seen in cartoons and things like that, when people died, they were given wings and they went to heaven where they played harps all the time. And I remember thinking as a child, that doesn't sound like very much fun, you know? But the world, that's the way the world sees it, I reckon. Heaven is so much more than that. Heaven is so much more than that. Yes, we'll be given glorified bodies, and we're only given a glimpse of what that might be like. Our bodies will be likened to that of Christ. And he demonstrated that after his resurrection in that 40 days he was here upon the earth, some of the things he could do. And interestingly, one of the things that he did was eat. He had a meal with the disciples. So apparently we'll eat in heaven. But I think that, in fact, there will be a marriage supper there in heaven. I think that there are some things like that that we'll be able to do, but it'll be so much more than what we know it to be today that we really can't fully comprehend all that. I think it'll be a place of music. I do. I think it'll be the place that we were really created for. I think Adam and Eve began to experience some of that in their time here on this earth before the sin. They sinned and fell in their experience in the Garden of Eden. And the sum of all that God created there, he said, was very good. I think heaven is going to be very good. And be a place that we will want to be for eternity. So much better than what we know now. You know, we get very attached to what we know now. I remember the story told of the preacher who was preaching about, he preached a rousing sermon about heaven, and at the end point he asked the congregation who all wanted to go to heaven, and everybody in the congregation raised their hand except for one man down near the front, and the preacher looked at him and said, "Sir, don't you want to go to heaven?" He said, "Oh, I want to go to heaven. I thought you was making up a load to go now. You know, we want to go to heaven, but we don't want to go now because we're attached to things here on this earth. But once we get there, I don't think we'll look back. I don't think we'll be like Lot's wife and look back at what we left behind at all. I think we will be so thrilled and excited and energized by what we experience in heaven that we would never, ever want to go back to this earth. The fact of the matter is, we may die any day. Someone has said, in the midst of life, we are in death. We must all die sooner or later. The youngest, the fairest, the strongest, the cleverest, all must someday die. This world shall not go on forever as it is now. At some point, all the affairs of this earth will be wound up and finished. And eternity will be upon us. That can be a little bit scary. That can be a little bit troubling. I've often equated the experience of death as being like walking through a door, going through a doorway, and we can't really see what's on the other side. Once we go through that doorway, we're going to be fine, I promise you. Lord Jesus will be there for us. His angels will bear us into heaven, and that's a great promise. But it's a little bit scary anticipating that and anticipating what that might be like because we don't know. It's beyond our current experience. The closest we've seen is people we know who have passed on. Jesus understood this well. And so in his words to his disciples, In John chapter 14, the first three verses there, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now, there's a few things about that we need to, I think, understand. The Lord is preparing us a place there. He has gone to do that. And that is a wondrous thought. To know that we will be dwelling in a place prepared for us by the very hands of God is an incredible thought. Some of you may have built the house that you live in or had a hand in it. I guarantee you God's a better builder than you are. And I guarantee you, you know, that which we build here doesn't always last, does it? It will someday fall apart, rot, okay? Disappear. But what God is building for us in heaven will last for eternity. There will never need to be renovations. There will never need to be any improvements made upon what He is building for us. He's building a place where He is so that we will go to Him, and where we are, He will be there. Where He is, we will be there. And that's going to be so precious. There are people who do not value life and do not have any respect for God and what He is even creating for us. I was reading this afternoon in some news about a man. He was a prominent gay rights lawyer who was so upset about global warming that he poured gasoline on himself and lit himself a fire and committed suicide to show everybody what we're doing to ourselves by our reliance on fossil fuels. Just when you think you've heard it all. Folks, God values life. And it's a precious thing when He gives life. And it's an even more precious thing when He prepares that life for eternity with Him. Oh, how we ought to love God because He first loved us. So what will heaven be like? You know, after all, we're traveling through this world on our way there, and we are known as sojourners here, as we do. So, or pilgrims, you know. Abraham said he looked to that city. He had been promised a vast section of land for him and for his descendants. And Abraham said he looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. He understood that he was just passing through this earth. And so should we. Therefore, we shouldn't become quite so attached to this earth and the things of this earth. We should have our eyes set upon heaven, upon glory. But we should also have a desire to know more about where we're headed. So let me share a few more thoughts here. First, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And I get that thought from someone else. But it is that. Not only is the Lord preparing a place for us in heaven, but He is now preparing us for our eternity in heaven. much of what we experience in this life is to prepare us for heaven, to make us more like Christ, to help us to understand what holiness is and what obedience is. You see, when we get to heaven, as we well know, there will be no more sin. Everything we do will be holy and righteous. And all because of Christ, to Him be the glory. But we will not be plagued by sin any longer. And I think there are times when God wants us to get a glimpse of heaven here through obedience. And He can help us to see a little bit into heaven and what it is. All those who are found there will be of one mind and of one experience. We can't say that about us right here in this room right now. We're not all of one mind. We should strive for that. We should be as much like that as we can. But because of sin and its ability to alter the way we see things and experience things, we vary on different things. And we won't all totally agree about everything. But you know what? When we get to heaven, we will. And we'll all be experiencing the same thing as fully as it can be experienced. So there will be no divisions in heaven. There's a lot of division here. I'm almost sickened by the division I see in our country today over idiotic things. But there won't be any of that in heaven. There won't be any protest marches. Can you imagine? There won't be any body debating in heaven. Heaven will be a place where we'll all be learning and growing forever. We won't know everything as God does. Only God knows everything. But we'll be spending the rest of eternity trying to catch up to Him, and we'll be continually growing in our knowledge, unhindered by anything, the things that hinder us here. All those who will be there will have been chosen by the same Father. Now, that generates some unity right there. But we'll all be there because we were chosen by God. And that's pretty important. There won't be a human soul in heaven that got there because they earned their way there. Every soul there will have been chosen by the Father, and that will be the reason why they're there. Not because they have any certain abilities or capabilities, but simply because they were chosen of God. To God be the glory. Every soul there will have been washed in the same blood of atonement. And that blood won't be that of bulls and goats. It'll be the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only way we enter into heaven is to be washed by that blood. And all will be washed by that same blood. And we will have all been renewed by that same Spirit, quickened, made alive by that same Holy Spirit, every one of us. There are no alternate paths or pathways into heaven. There's no different route that a person can take, no matter what the celebrities of today say. There's only one way into heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We will all be of the same, quote-unquote, religion, and it'll be the true religion of God, not anything man-made. We've been spending several weeks now on these doctrines. We will know more clearly what these doctrines are, and they all belong to God, not to any of us, not to any man. They won't come out of any confessions of faith that man has generated, that different churches may have generated. It all come directly from God. We will experience there a universal and perfect holiness and love and knowledge. We'll share in all those things. Heaven is the eternal presence of everything that can make a saint happy. Think about that. Happy in the spirit that we are given from God. No sadness. In fact, it will be the eternal, there will be an eternal absence of everything that can cause sorrow. No sickness. No pain. No disease. No death. No wickedness. No poverty. No labor. No money. No ignorance. No misunderstanding. No slander. No lying. No quarrels. No envies. No bad tempers. No infidelity. No superstition. No heresy. No schism. No wars. No fightings. No bloodshed. No murders. No lawsuits. All of these things will have no place in heaven. On earth, in this present time, they may live and flourish. But as one has said, in heaven, even their footprints shall not be known. There will be no hint of them. All that will be past. In Revelation chapter 7, turn there for a moment. Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There is much suffering in this life. I think we should try to keep things in perspective and remember that no one has suffered more than our Lord and Savior did. But yet we do experience suffering here on this earth. And that will come to an end. When I was young, I would hear older folks talk about their aches and their pains, and I didn't really think much about it until I began to get older and have aches and pains. Seems like the older you get, the more they are. You begin to get to a point where you couldn't do what you used to do. All that'll be gone. When we get to heaven, there'll be no more of that. We will be as fully fit as we possibly can be and have eternity to enjoy it. That's something to look forward to. To get beyond the sufferings of this life into the joys of that life ought to be something we long for. And we will look more at that next Sunday night when we answer the next question, which is, what are we to think of heaven? I want to close with this thought. Heaven, and to be in heaven, ought to be one of the strongest desires in our hearts. If it's not, then there's a problem. If you have no desire for heaven, then you might want to make sure you've been born again. You might want to make sure that you have indeed trusted in the Lord and Savior for salvation. If you haven't, that ought to be what you do. Don't wait, don't tarry, don't delay. Trust in Christ. Trust in what He has done. Believe with the faith of Christ in what He has done. And be assured that you will be in heaven. If that's happened, and you find that you're not all that excited about going to heaven, then I'm just going to be blunt and say there is a sin problem in your life that is blinding you to the joys of what heaven should be like. You are attached to something else, and you need to let go of it and look to Christ and desire to have what He is preparing for you. We must learn how to let go. Someday you're going to let go of all this, and you won't have a choice in the matter. You're going to let go of it, only to find something greater to hold on to. Let's try to anticipate that. Let go of the stuff of this world and grab hold of the things of Christ, the kingdom of God, and prepare ourselves as best we can for heaven. You don't know when that moment's going to come. Kenny and Fran probably had some thoughts that it had come Friday night for them, because they were on the road up there by Mountainburg when that tornado came through. You just don't know. So be prepared now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Prepare yourself now. Be right with God now. Don't delay. And if Christ is your Savior, someday you will find yourself swept up into whatever it is He is preparing for us. And what a glorious day that will be. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord, for this day, for these words, for these thoughts of what heaven is like. And Lord, just we pray, continue to open our eyes to the glories of heaven. And continue, O Lord, to work in us and to prepare us for heaven. And Lord, work in us a desire to want to be in heaven when You want it, when Your time comes for us to be there. Lord, we thank You that You love us so much that You'll prepare a place for us for eternity. We thank You so much that that place is going to be absent any of the trials, the troubles, the tribulations of this life, the temptation to sin, the effects of sin, all those things will be gone. And, oh, Lord, we will glory in Your presence forever. What a wondrous day that will be. And we, Lord, I pray each one looks forward to that day. Lord, I ask now, as we close, that You bless this special business meeting we're about to enter into, that Your Holy Spirit would guide us in the decisions that we need to make here tonight, and that these would all be in full accordance with Your will and pleasing in Your sight. I pray this all in